Representative Christy Purcell of District 58A. Good morning, Christy. How are you?
Good morning. I'm so happy to be here in person this week. Thanks for having me.
It's not the same without you. Like, it's just, I mean, I appreciate the time no matter what, right? But I was just like, oh, yay, she's here in person today. It's just better.
Well, yes, of course. Yeah. Of course. Happy to be in district.
Yeah. Yeah. Where do we start with what's been going on at the legislature today? Do you want to talk about the special election? Do you want to talk about what you're doing? Let's talk about the special election first.
Yep.
So your party, the Democratic Farmer and Labor Party, had a pretty good victory this morning.
Oh, yeah, on Tuesday night.
Not this morning. I mean this week, though.
Yeah. So I will be really interested to hear. This is for a special election. You kind of never know how those are going to go.
Right.
It was a pretty big election, presidential, in November. And then this group of people have not been represented in the House. The date for their special election moved at least once.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really like, are people going to come out? Are they just over it?
Yep.
And the turnout for this special election was unprecedented.
Is that right?
Yes. So for context, in the election in November, I had between 22,000 and 24,000 people come and vote. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the actual number of mm-hmm. people who voted in my election.
Mm-hmm.
And there were 14,000 who came out to vote in the election on Tuesday.
Wow.
So typically, I mean, you would see half that. You'd see 7,000 people participate.
Yeah. For a special election like that, yeah.
Or lower than that.
Yeah.
So just the sheer participation in itself was wonderful.
That's awesome.
We like to see people participating in our democracy.
Yes, we do.
And then the results were pretty astonishing too. So in November, when Curtis Johnson won about 60% of the vote and mm-hmm. his opponent won 40% of the vote, the way that it went this year was the DFL candidate, David Gottfried, won 70% of the vote.
Wow.
So I think, I mean, you don't want to read too much because special elections are weird.
Yeah,
they are. I do think just in a very short time of the new administration in Washington, D.C., people are feeling it. People are feeling frustrated. And so to have even more folks come out and, you know, vote for a Democrat mm-hmm. in this moment where we're seeing mm-hmm. a lot of chaos and confusion and cruelty coming out of Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
That's how I read that.
Sure. What does this mean then for the DFL? So you guys are now tied 67-67 as far as membership in Republicans and Democrats go.
Well, on Wednesday, some friendlier communications between the two parties sort of restarted.
Oh.
I'm told. And I guess the interpretation from the leadership in the Minnesota House is that we're not actually tied until he takes his oath at 3:30 p.m. on Monday.
Okay.
And so Monday, the Minnesota Senate this year is supposedly taking over the coordination of Sovereignty Day, which is a day that we try to coordinate with the 11 independent tribes that share the same geography in Minnesota. And that's a thing that Melissa Hortman has really taken in the House before mm-hmm. and invited the Senate and been this really important day of collaboration and just understanding of the unique federal designation that our tribes have and do this sort of government to government relationship building. But because that starts at 8 a.m. on Monday, most of our committees are still meeting because this is the last chance for Republicans to have the gavel. I mean, that's not actually true. It's going to be alternating. But Monday will be Republican gavels, and then whatever the second meeting of different committees mm-hmm. are later in the week. I think all the committees meet twice a week, except for one. But that one will always have Republican gavel, the waste, fraud, and abuse. So they're, you know, not going quietly with the power sharing. And then we saw 22 bills on the roster yesterday, which I thought maybe was a record, but I guess was done 15 years ago. Hmm. 20 of them were laid on the table. So
what does that mean?
So that means that they could be taken from the table at any time.
Okay.
And debated and voted on. So now everyone just has to have perfect attendance from now until the end of the 2026 session. Or shenanigans could happen if one person is gone from either party. Oh. And it's a non-debatable motion to pull. Or no, it's a non-debatable motion to lay something on the table. But you do have to have the votes to remove it from the table. So either if there's a DFLer gone, Republicans could remove it from the table, mm-hmm. vote on it if, again, mm-hmm. they have mm-hmm. one more vote. And vice versa, Democrats could do that if they have a member gone. We could vote to remove something from the table and then vote it down. But then these bills are in play for the next 2 years. So
wow, you don't get to get sick.
Nope.
You don't get to...
Well, you can be sick, but you have to call in remotely.
Yeah.
And literally at the end of session last year, there were four members that I know of who had emergency room visits.
Yeah.
And still had to call in their votes.
I'm
so,
sitting here thinking, you can't have a family emergency. You can't. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if because, like, you guys are eyeball to eyeball at this point. Is there much trust between the two sides at the moment?
I think that has deteriorated because of moves like this. It's like, well, we had a power-sharing agreement, and now there's, like, you know, a move like having 22 bills up. And then at least finally getting to the agreement, we'll lay 20 on the table, is like kind of trying to work around
mm-hmm.
true power sharing. And so it'll be interesting, though, because when we've been in the majority the 2 years I've done this job before, you're only in the majority if the majority of you show up.
Yeah.
And the GOP has not had to do that. They've been able to be excused. They've been able to, in the case of my former B-side, go to Las Vegas for a weekend, or, you know, leaving on a Wednesday, or what, you know. It's like, and so it's a very different expectation,
right?
So I'm hoping that we can rebuild some trust just for the quality of life of people.
Because
we're all human. I mean, the thought that I kept having was like, what if someone is like unconscious in the hospital,
right?
And they like can't vote.
Yeah, because it's kind of that argument, because I'm sure people think like, oh, well, you're only in legislative session for so many months and then you're done. It's like, yeah, but my life doesn't stop just because I'm in session.
People have family members who get really sick or pass away,
right?
And this, like, we're trying to pass paid family medical leave is a big topic this week about delaying that.
Mm-hmm.
Even once that's passed, because we are in session, quote unquote, part time, we don't ever get that.
Mm-hmm.
And I might work until midnight or all night, regardless of if I have kids, if I have a family member who's sick, if I'm sick, God forbid. It's just a quite an inhumane, like we're trying to pass laws to make people's lives better, and then the job
you're
itself.
You're not practicing what you're preaching, right. Essentially.
It's like almost impossible.
Yeah.
So it's such an interesting juxtapose. And I look at some of my colleagues who've been there for two decades or more. I'm like, how are you doing this? How have you survived this long doing this? And I'm not complaining. Like, it's absolutely the honor of my my career.
Yeah.
But it is just so weird.
I mean, the conversations I've had with you, just casually listening to the things that you have to try and grapple with and figure out as a representative, it's just like, how does anyone do this job? You know,
well,
it's
luckily,
challenging.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. It's
yeah.
definitely the most challenging job I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what's different, especially because immediately before this, as an executive director of a nonprofit, that's a really lonely role, mm-hmm. because all of your colleagues you supervise.
Right.
And this is the opposite of that. I'm the only person who represents the 43,500 people in our district, mm-hmm. but I'm with other people who are in similarly weird and unique situations. So right. it feels like a team sport.
Yeah.
Yes.
In a way that, I mean, it absolutely felt like a team, you know, in a small nonprofit. There's, you know, a handful of us. We're all on the same team.
Right.
But this is a way that it feels like, yeah, because it is such a big job, it's like, someone, you know, has a question for me about public safety, and I don't really know about public safety, but I know which colleague to go to,
right.
you know, who to ask about that, because they're the chair of the committee, or, you know, this is their life outside of the legislature. And so that is really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. You have those resources in place to help yeah. make your job a little bit easier.
Yes. And I hope, and I try to be a resource on certain issues for my colleagues too. Yeah. It goes both ways.
I'm sure people come to you with ag questions all the time.
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, wait, you're not on the ag committee anymore. I'm like, I know, I'm still a wannabe hanger on to the ag.
I'm still confused as why you're not on the ag, but that's a much
because the health committee meets at the same time.
Oh, and you want, okay, all right.
Well, and it's really important for me to be on the health committee, and I got to meet the over Zoom the commissioner of our Department of Health this week, Brooke Cunningham. She's a incredibly impressive
is that right?
human being. Holy buckets. We're so lucky to have her, and I think she was excited. After we chatted, our talk went much longer than the 15 minutes that we had scheduled. Luckily, I had a little additional time at the end because I'm really interested in public health.
Yeah.
And talking about things like drinking water.
Yeah.
And, you know, the closure of rural clinics and yep. hospitals and yep. what a big deal that is. And it seems like a lot of folks, the health committee is the biggest one I serve on. I can't remember how many members. There are a ton of us. And a lot of folks are, you know, focused on insurance or the hospital, you know, systems, the Alinas of the mm-hmm. world and the North Memorials and the Fairviews, and rightly so. Those are really, really important for us to be keeping an eye on. And it seems to me like maybe the perspective that I bring, looking kind of, you know, upstream of these root causes of things and looking mm-hmm. at things like, you know, clean air and drinking mm-hmm. water and soil yeah. health, like that impacts mm-hmm. all of us. And so we just had a lot to talk about because she seemed excited that I was interested in tackling the drinking water issue. Like, why should people on private wells have fewer protections for the water that they feed their family than I do on a municipal water system? But even here in Northfield, the water is very different than the water I drank when I lived in Minneapolis or when yeah. I go to work in St. Paul. And that, in a developed country in the United States of America, in Minnesota, land of 10,000 lakes,
right.
why should there be that huge discrepancy and huge range of the quality of water we're drinking? And of course, this is top of mind for our community right now, with the drinking water system treatment
yep.
that was planned and kind of been derailed. And I have strong feelings on that. And so it was great to talk and just let her know that, like, I'm sitting on all those committees and I don't know that much about insurance except my own personal experience. But mm-hmm. what I do know about is water quality.
Yeah.
And we need to make sure that that is coming up in the health committee.
Yep. Okay. What else have you been working on this week?
Well, I got to offer my first amendment on the House floor.
Tell us about that.
So the advantage of being in the majority is that, you know, we put our bills up the last 2 years. We knew we had the votes to pass them. I got to gush about the ag bill, for example, a couple of years. But I don't just sort of extemporaneously pull up the mic and start talking into it.
You're not that person.
I try not to be that person.
Right. There are plenty of those folks in the in the House. Yeah.
They don't need me for that.
Folks who like to hear themselves speak.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yeah.
But I did offer a bill. So of the two bills that we did discuss yesterday, I offered an amendment to the bill we had talked about in the health committee that was taking state dollars away from these sexual and reproductive health grants mm-hmm. that the state gives out, mainly to these like small clinics and mm-hmm. like rural places. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's obviously some in the metro too, for these clinics to provide scientifically accurate, community-based education, testing, prevention, counseling. Sure. And the bill proposes to move some of that money and give it to the crisis pregnancy centers, things like the Women's Health Clinic, which is a thing that the state did for a very long time, and we changed that 2 years ago. To my knowledge, none of those clinics have closed.
Mm-hmm.
They have lots of private donations, and
yep.
they're doing okay.
Yep.
So my amendment, so that was the bill that we heard, was to move the money back to the crisis pregnancy centers. My bill said, you know what? We have an epidemic of chlamydia in the United States and in Minnesota, especially for people ages 19 to 25.
Oh, is that right?
And that actually gets treated and education around that. At the kinds of clinics that my amendment would have funded and not necessarily the crisis pregnancy center. So mm. it was a very passionate debate on the House floor. My amendment was voted down because we're still in the,
sure.
we're still one vote down.
Yeah.
But to get to sort of like proactively get to yeah. talk about the great work, because I'm carrying a bill to increase their funding because it's like, the numbers are astronomical. 91,000 people came in to get testing and educated, you know, several hundred thousand Minnesotans. And a lot of these places exist in places where there is no other health care clinics. Mm-hmm. Like I gave the example of a clinic in Crow Wing County. There's no other clinic that you can get those services for, you know, at least 60 miles around. So we knew it wasn't going to pass, but I got to say chlamydia on the House floor. So
all right.
Twice.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And, you know, it was like, this is what we're hearing from healthcare providers is because of people's unwillingness to even say the word, like our young people especially are suffering and if untreated can really lead to long-term.
Yeah.
Poor health outcomes.
Right. So. You didn't call it the clap, did you, on the floor?
I did not.
That's good.
No, we like to use scientific, modern terminology.
That's good.
Let's call it what it is.
That's right.
That's right.
That's what I tell my children, too. Yep.
With just a couple minutes left, you're going to be at the Wallflower House today.
I am.
We talked with Kelly Podracki yesterday.
I haven't gotten to listen to that interview yet. And so I'm really excited to get to see that. Place on the inside. Also, I haven't gotten to listen to when Dr. Hillman was in here talking about the visit up to the Capitol with the students earlier this week. I haven't gotten to listen to that, but it was just so great talking with the students from the high school.
Yeah.
And then there were two different groups that came up from St. Olaf. One was that same day that the Northfield High School students were there. One was the following day. It's just so wonderful and gives me life to see the young people, getting engaged in the process and showing up. And I like to remind them all, like, I work for you. And, you know, if you want to invite me to the high school for an after school club or a Q&A or whatever, mm-hmm. however that works. And same thing with the St. Olaf students. I know we're trying to schedule a group of Carleton students, coming up with their trip CE.
Yep.
I think it's in April, where then I can actually like have lunch with them and sort of a longer time than like the 15 minutes or like quick catch me after committee. Yeah. So it's always so wonderful to see folks. But yes, there was like Homelessness Day on the Hill this week and just an incredible turnout of people who are concerned about issues of homelessness, and so I'm excited to see the Wallflower House firsthand as a way to help especially young adults in our community get some stability.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Tim McNiff is sitting at home wondering where the heck we are, so we have to get going.
Okay, just two things I want to say really quick.
Yeah.
It was so great. I was up north last week, but I got to stream KYMN from my bunker in northern Minnesota and listen to our incredible announcers, to listen to the Northfield Raiders take the consolation prize at the boys hockey tournament. It was so fun.
That was really fun.
I got to text Justice Moore and Joe and say, like, great job. And so, and the other thing that just leads into is I am so grateful that we have KYMN as our local radio station. I know it's hard to ask for money. You're doing great.
Thank you.
Keep it up. I got to come on Monday to the little party in imminent. I was literally there for 5 minutes.
Yeah, I saw you.
You were busy.
I waved and then I turned around. I couldn't find you again.
I talked to Ryan.
Yep.
Sure I didn't even get to talk to Danny. I gave Annie a quick hug. It was just sort of a like, I'm home, but I'm going to go see my kids.
Yeah, yeah.
But congratulations.
Thank you.
You're halfway there.
Yep.
We can do this.
We're feeling good.
Community, let's do this for this really important community asset. And I am honored to be part of the KYMN family. And I
brought definitely a
check I can just leave in your office maybe,
right? Well, that's very kind of you.
Yes.
We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's not much, but you know, if everybody throws in a little.
Okay, we've been saying, if you can do a dollar.
That's
We greatly appreciate that, man.
Mm. And that is how this fundraising thing works. Let me tell you, from the nonprofit to the politics side, it is hard to ask for money, but you are confident in your product.
Yes, 100%.
This community hopefully has got your back to save the tower.
Well, so far, I mean, the community has been amazing, so we really appreciate it. And we appreciate your